I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. Joel and Gray here, the Gray Area. Mondays, we archive every show for legal reasons at 98qcountry.com under podcast. Morning, Gray.
Mountain of evidence, 98qcountry.com. Good morning.
We survived the four-person golf scramble Saturday.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah, it was a good day. Beautiful day out on the golf course. Hats off to Dan Greenwood, Shannon Greenwood, the Shawamigan Parent Teacher Organization, Northwoods Community Credit Union. Put a good show on out there. It was a fun day.
Yeah, that was a fantastic time. Yes. And didn't even play badly enough to spoil it.
We didn't shoot 13 under par, but we did. What did we end up even? Is that how we ended
dead
up?
Dead even. And I was quite happy with that. And that was something, I mentioned that on my own morning show earlier, was there's so much talent around here. Like, there's, I'm sure, go down to Eau Claire and you'll find a team that'll shoot 15, 16 under or something like that. But, like, yeah. It's incredible that we've got what we've got up here. And it's not just golf. Like, everywhere you look, if talent and skill and effort and performance are involved, the Northwoods is a contender.
Yeah, some good golfers up here, too. Fun day out there at the golf course. Oh, the Gray Area, every Monday we have our menu that is laid out. There's no prices. It changes every single week. It's really not customer-friendly at all. Last week when we had those severe storms in the Northwoods, we had the most intense severe weather coverage from the Wausau TV stations that I had ever seen. Channel 7 did a great job. Mark Holly down there, he does a great job as a meteorologist, and he was covering the storms up here. But you could tell, it's not too often that we get severe weather here in Park Falls and Butternut area, and they're not getting it down there. Usually they're talking about Marshfield and Wausau, and rightly so, that's their audience. But we were getting it, and we were like the northern tip of their coverage area. So we were getting all the coverage on Channel 7 last week, and you could tell because they didn't know how to say arborvitae. They didn't know how to say Lake de Flambeau. They did pretty good. They got Lugerville. They were questioning it. In fact, one time the meteorologist said, there appears to be possibly a funnel cloud near, is it Lugerville? You know, he questioned it. If he would have just said it, he would have been like, bam, got it, either right or wrong. But when you say, question mark, is that right? You just opened yourself up to being wrong, right?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do, though? Like, let's say you're in that position and you want to determine what the pronunciation is. What are you going to do? If I want to know the name of a business, or if I want to know how to pronounce Eau Claire, and I'm really bad at figuring that out, one of the last things I would pick, but a valid choice, is call a business in that town. Be like, hey, how do you pronounce the name of the town you're in?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Google auto shop in Lugerville? No, you're not. So, like, even the bad options for figuring out, like, you can Google a pronunciation for a lot of places, and you might be surprised. You can actually get one, because those kinds of things, AI is getting a little better at speaking like people. But Lugerville ain't on the list.
After my many years in radio, I have learned that whatever it is, you go with it and you do it confidently, because there's a certain percentage of your listeners and viewers that don't know how to say it. So if you just say it confidently and with them, you're right. All right. If you go on there and say, there's a funnel cloud near Lugerville. Is that right? You lost everybody. All right. Everybody now knows you don't know how to say it. At least if you say it confidently, if you say Lugerville, most people will be like, whatever. He knows how to say that. But a certain percentage of people would say, no, you idiot. It's Lugerville. But at least you won part of the crowd. Right.
Right. Yeah. You've definitely got, I mean, this, you could make a political campaign out of this.
There you go. Yeah, I think you could.
I think this might be a good idea. This might be a good idea or a terrible one. I remember once reading, I think I was probably like 13 or 14, and not a good, not my prime. So like I read a lot of books back then. That's how I spent a lot of my time, was reading books at the time, because books were my best friends, and that was well earned. So like, mm-hmm. I remember reading at one point, if you hear somebody mispronounce a word, don't make fun of them, because that meant they read it. And I thought, okay, That's pretty safe logic. But even after I adopted that and I went forward with all of the snootiness that I didn't need to have for knowing a bunch of words I didn't know how to pronounce, it didn't help.
Yeah.
It didn't help at all. I still felt like an absolute jerk when somebody corrected me on the pronounce. It was, I think it was ethereal. I think I said etherreal, and my dad said, "What'd you say?" I was like, "Don't look at me like that. I read that word. I've never heard it pronounced out loud." He said, "Yes, you have. You just didn't realize they were the same." I was like, "Oh, so there's my opportunity to still feel like an idiot."
I remember the first time on air that I read a story about Yosemite Sam, the Arctic character, and I looked at it. And all I was thinking was Yosemite. In my brain, this is processing really quickly. I'm like, what? I've never seen, I've heard it a thousand. So, Yosemite Sam is what I said on the air. And then so I walked out of the studio and our news director goes, "I believe it's Yosemite." The national park. Just like, I've never seen it on a piece of paper before. I've only heard it said in a cartoon before. Yosemite Sam.
I feel for people learning English as a second language. The word Yosemite is a landmine. That is just like, that breaks every rule you've learned. Like, you've got rules 1 through 10. You've got a bunch of sub rules. Here's all the special cases to remember. And then you've got the word Yosemite. You've got turquoise. And you've got these things that we've stolen.
You've got I breaking the rule of the TE app. You've got E breaking the rule of nothing being after it, and you got everything just being broken. Oh, yes.
I was watching a YouTube video one time, and it was a very similar disconnection. He didn't realize that the word rhythm was that word with no vowel in it, and so he was trying to read the word rhythm, this YouTube content creator, and he said rimth. He was describing music. He said, you've got to have rimth. And the crazy thing was, he knows the word rhythm. And I know this guy. He knows the word rhythm, but he didn't connect that the word rimth was just, wow. Yeah, I thought, man. And he's a smart dude, too. The guy does well for himself. But yeah, wow, it's amazing what brain cells can misbehave like that.
All right. So another observation from the weekend. We were at the... Northwoods Community Credit Union Golf Classic. We went in for lunch after 9 holes, and I ordered the double brat plate, which was one too many brats, but it was still good. My son will attest to the second brat. It was good. But my son comes back to the table, and he's got the double hot dog deal, the double hot dog plate. And I thought to myself, what would make, I know the price was a little cheaper, and maybe that was a driving force, but I thought to myself, you put a bratwurst here, and then you put a hot dog here. I mean, my choice would be the bratwurst, for me anyway.
That's what, I made the same choice.
Right. And I thought to myself, over the weekend, as I was driving down to Stevens Point, long drive yesterday, for some reason I was thinking about that, and I thought, what happened with the hot dog? Why is the hot dog the one of the worst things you could throw in your body? Why is it so good? Why do we love the hot dog? And I started singing the jingle. Do you remember the old Armor hot dog jingle?
No, I honestly, when it comes to questionable meats and their theme songs, my bologna has a first name, but that's kind of the end of things for me.
Well, this was one from back in the early 70s. They're a very popular baseball sponsor, Armor hot dogs. Here you go.
What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Fat kids, skinny kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids,
even kids with chicken pox
love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs, kids love to fight.
They got us. They got us at a young age. Even if you got measles, you're eating hot dogs. I mean, the marketing campaigns for hot dogs just tremendously done well.
Kids love the bite.
It's
fat kids, skinny kids, even kids with chicken pox. Well, who's thinking up this marketing? Some guy in the back. I got the song. They're for fat kids, skinny kids, and even if you're like on your deathbed, measles, you ask the nurse for a hot dog.
We need a one-syllable word that can describe a human being. I mean, like, what's the best one? Fat? Let's go with that one. Yeah, there's no better choice. Let's go with fat.
The marketing concept behind hot dogs is the reason why we lean toward and we're willing to pay $7 for a hot dog at AmFam Field. And you mentioned the other one, the Oscar Mayer one. Here you go. Here you go.
You had it queued up? Are you kidding me?
My baloney has a first
Well, this isn't really a hot dog, but kind of.
I had to introduce
My
Rachel to this song.
My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-L-O-G-N-A.
Don't eat bologna every day, all
no,
right? It's not every
no,
day.
No, absolutely not. I mean, like, and like I said, cute. I had to introduce Rachel to that song, but to be fair, that kid who just sang that is now completely bald. he goes by Grandpa Joe. Like, he's time passed, things change.
Yes.
The first one, you asked if I remember the Armor Hot Dogs. It specifically said it was from the 70s.
Yeah.
So if I was born in 1980, I'd be 45, and I'm not that.
Yeah, I remember that song on baseball game commercials very clearly. But Oscar Mayer and Armor Hot Dogs were the ones who really got it. Here's another one, too, that people might remember this one for Oscar Mayer.
Class attention. Forward march.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener.
My mom knows this one too well.
'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love.
So that's, I mean, you think of the marketing campaigns for hot dogs when they first came out, and it's just like, these things cost a penny to make, and we're going to put $2 zillion worth of advertising revenue into this, and it worked.
See,
it all worked.
The effectiveness of that advertising, though, too, I don't know why, and maybe it won't be true for current generations, the way that they've been shaped by digital tech. But like those old hand-drawn advertisements, just, they worked so well for me. Tootsie Pop.
Yeah.
The owl. A one, a two, a three. Crunch. And he bites the pop. Like, how many licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like 800, depending on how weird of a kid you were.
Yeah. Hot dogs.
Joel is looking at the picture of pink slime.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I never want to know what's in a hot dog, but they're delicious. And I know what's in a hot dog, and I'll still eat it. I will still eat it. I ate a 25-year-old Cheez-It, so I've got an excuse. What's yours? What's yours, people?
Joel's eating the apple in the Garden of Eden, going, yeah, all right.
I mean, if you buy a pack of hot dogs at the grocery store and a pack of buns, I mean, you've got meals for a while pretty cheap, all right? I understand that. I understand. Yeah. Economic, you're thinking, you're eating the hot dog, you're like, I know this probably isn't good for me. It tastes wonderful, but it costs like 50 cents maybe for both combined. But when you go to a baseball stadium and there's a hot dog for $8, what's the rationale behind that?
money. The nostalgia. You're paying for your nostalgia trip.
It is.
Because you got one for $1 once upon a time, and you're not in Costco, but you still will remember that when you pay the $8.
The joy of marketing, Joe Camel cigarettes, and what were we thinking back then?
That game program that you gave me from 1996, there's so many cigarette ads. Like every brand, every soft pack that doesn't merit ultralights, like, yeah. Bygone era.
8:25 here in the Gray Area with Joel and Gray every Monday from 8 to 9. We just start off your week with some silly nonsense. The Brewers, the Brewers, 10 games in a row. They go to L.A. They beat the Dodgers. Dodger payroll is like $320 million. The Brewer payroll is at $120 million. I don't know if you heard what Pat Murphy said. He said none of these Japanese reporters have any idea who any of our players are. He says, you ask any of them one name of a player, and they aren't going to know any names of our players. He's just so great. What a great weekend. What a great stretch for the Brewers. Just great stretch.
It feels like the beginning of the season, that kind of that face plant, those first, what was it, the first dozen, first 20 games or so?
Yeah.
It was not a great time. So, no. Like, it still feels like we're the yin to the yang, and I wonder if it might come back around. I get nervous when this kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of games, and there will be a swoon, yet you just hope it doesn't happen in the playoffs. But you get a feeling that this guy, Coach Pat Murphy, he's old school. We talked about it before. Mike Clemens has talked about how much joy he finds in Pat Murphy. It feels like Yogi Berra smoking a big stogie in the dugout is what it feels like. It feels old school is what it feels like. It just feels old school.
That's, well, and are we, is it about halfway Is the All-Star break about halfway point, or is it a little
we're
past
about
a, that?
We're about 100 games in, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So a little past.
Out of 160, yeah. So Coach Murphy and the Brewers doing well. They'll be on the left coast again tonight. More of the gray area coming up. I got a little NASCAR to talk about, Northwood's version of NASCAR. I had another realization yesterday as I was driving to Stevens Point on why people enjoy NASCAR so much in northern Wisconsin. It has a lot, has everything to do with Highway 51 and those Illinois people. More to come in the gray area after our twice an hour news and sports.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Burials taking place in Gaza and hospitals are flooded with wounded Palestinians after Israeli troops opened fire near a crowd trying to collect food at an aid distribution site. Hospital officials say 80 people died and more than 150 were injured. Here's ABC Chief Foreign Correspondent Ian Pannell.
There have been multiple killings at food sites over the last few weeks. As the crisis on the ground worsens, the UN's food program estimating 90,000 Palestinians are suffering from malnutrition, many on the brink of starvation.
A Bangladesh military plane crashed into a school today in Dhaka, the death toll rising to 18 with 164 others injured, according to a spokesman for the Bangladesh Armed Forces. The school had some 2,000 students from elementary through high school. The search for victims from the July 4th flooding in Central Texas has been going on for weeks. Now the list of people unaccounted for is down to just 8, down from 160 who had been on the list before. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. Doing some yard work? Just remember, after all the rain we had last week, you might find things holding water around your yard. And that's nothing but an invitation for mosquitoes to come and lay their eggs. Remember, fight the bite and tip, toss, and drain standing water to keep mosquitoes from buzzing around your home. You can prevent mosquito bites and the diseases they can carry with tips found at dhs.wisconsin.gov/mosquito. Sunday, August 3rd at 10:45 a.m., it's B&B Insurance's 7th Annual Kitty Car Race. You can bring your own battery-operated car, pedal bike, skateboard, rollerblades, anything you can race with. This will be located in front of the Old Pal Cafe on Division Street in downtown Park Falls. You can pre-register with a link found on B&B Insurance's Facebook page, or you can show up on the day of the race at 10:30 to register. Please remember the race starts at 11 a.m., 1 hour before the Flamborama Parade, and this is for ages 2 to 8. Pre-registration is much appreciated, and this is a completely free event. Each registered driver will receive a goodie bag loaded full of fun stuff, and there will be cookies. They will be doing 3 races, and there will be medals for 1st, 2nd, and 3rd places. Any questions? Give Blake or Tasha a call at 715-246-4043. Once again, this is taking place Sunday, August 3rd, with signups at 10:30 a.m. and the race beginning at 11, right in front of the Old Pal Cafe on Division Street in downtown Park Falls. Failure to fund a veteran housing program in the state budget has led 3 lawmakers to action. Lisa Hale reports.
3 Northeast Wisconsin legislators have introduced a bill to restore $1.9 million to the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. The VHRP operates 3 short-term housing facilities across the state in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove. They provide temporary housing, job training, and resources to veterans facing homelessness. While Governor Tony Evers did add almost $2 million to his biennial budget proposal to keep funding all 3 sites, the Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee removed it. The JFC's failure to fund the VHRP will force the centers in Chippewa Falls and the Greater Green Bay area to close. A bill introduced by Senator Jamie Wall of Green Bay, Representative Ryan Spouty of Ashwaubenon, and Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner of Green Bay would restore that funding to the budget and save the locations in Chippewa Falls and Bellevue. Rivera-Wagner said veterans deserve better. Quote, in the face of federal cuts that just passed in Congress, it's disrespectful to leave those who have served our country out in the cold at a time where they have the most need. The legislature will reconvene in session this fall. In the meantime, the Chippewa Falls and Bellevue locations of VHRP will close on September 30th. Veterans residing at those locations will be offered alternative placement options and will continue to receive assistance through supportive services. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
a 10-game winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a series tonight against the Mariners in Seattle, trying to keep a 10-game winning streak alive. Milwaukee beat the Dodgers in L.A. yesterday, 6-5, to move into a tie with the Cubs for first place in their division. The Brewers doing it with a roster of no-name players, according to Pat Murphy.
Monasterio stepping up, getting a huge two-out hit. RBI, Perkins. Perkins literally didn't have spring training. And what can you say about Collins? Collins, Vaughn, and Durbin have given us such a lift, but Collins has been the silent hero. He's played great defense, gotten big hits, hitting fourth in the lineup. The kid wasn't going to make the team in spring training unless there was a huge injury, and there was two of them, but he wasn't making the team. He's hitting fourth in our lineup. Vaughn was in AAA last week and couldn't break the lineup on a last place team. So, you know, we're just really fortunate that these guys are gelling and coming together and just, you know, playing hungry.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
The Pioneer Days Committee would like to extend their gratitude and appreciation for this year's 67th Annual Pioneer Days Celebration Sponsors. Thank you for your generosity. Platinum Sponsors, Forward Bank, River Valley Mutual Insurance Company, Northwoods Community Credit Union, Butternut Area Business Alliance, Randy and Cindy Zesch. Have a safe and happy Pioneer Days Celebration. For more information and events, days, and times, visit butternutwi.com.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one, so we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Price Electric, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
What's on Tap, brought to you by Miller Lite, the original light beer. Rooting for the Brew Crew, because we're from Milwaukee too. Tastes like Miller time. Score a William Contreras Brewers City Connect replica jersey giveaway at the game against the Reds on August 10th, courtesy of Hupie and Abraham. The first 30,000 ticketed fans to enter the gates will get the replica jersey. Grab seats at brewers.com/giveaways. Milwaukee Brewers Baseball and Miller Lite.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, our low around 60. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
The gray area. Joel here. Gray over there. We start off your week with just some fun stuff, all right? No political stuff. We just talk about observations of life. You know, if you guys have anything you want us to talk about, like the guy who wanted us to talk about pickleball.
Twice now, Roger.
Yeah, we did it. We did it. We did the pickleball thing.
We're two of two, man.
It's our
We were one of one when you requested it.
You can always email us, wcqm@civicmedia.us. So yesterday, as I was driving on Highway 51 down through Wausau and Stevens Point, and Sunday is a day, of course, for all the people who have cabins and stuff up here, the vacationers are heading back home, Milwaukee, Madison, Chicago, whatever it may be, and they want to get home fast. They want to get home quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And they're and they're moving. It's nothing like driving in Chicago, but it is. I really think there's a I think there's a NASCAR mentality in everyone's brain, even if you don't watch NASCAR. I think everyone has this feeling of zipping left and then zipping right and then cutting. Everyone has that in their blood. I think some of us just suppress it a little better than other people.
It feels good to pass people. I mean, like, I definitely...
Yeah, there you go.
I worked at a go-kart track for a little while when I was not living in Park Falls, and I definitely is just like, okay, I definitely look like that guy taking this too seriously, because it's just, it's so fun. It's not about being better than people, but, like, that part is necessary for what makes it enjoyable. Like, no, I'm not better than you, but it's just like, hey, pass me back and I'll like it even better, you know? Yeah. Like, beat me. That's the fun. Like, yeah, okay, maybe I'm overly competitive in a casual setting, but I'm not trash talking, and I'm keeping it to myself because I know I'm weird. But yeah, no, I'm definitely enjoying it when I pass you in a go-kart.
I just don't know how people who constantly drive 10, 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, I just don't know how they have any points left on their driver's license, because I don't speed that much. I'm older now, but I never was a speeder. But I know there's people who just have the personality. If it's 55, they're going 70. You know, they're just going 70. And if you do that every day, I just don't see how you have any points left on your driver's license.
Buy a heavy SUV and set the little info screen on the speedometer to the MPG setting, and you'll go 60. Like, yeah. When you see how many miles per gallon you lose between 60 and 62, I've never gone 62 in my life, for any law enforcement officers listening. But like the MPG difference between 60 and 62 is way bigger than it feels like is fair.
Yeah.
But I get better MPGs now because, yeah, we keep it.
We all know what the rules are. I mean, well, we all know that if the speed limit is 55, usually 61, 62, you can get away with it.
And there's cute sayings.
Yeah, but 63, 64, yeah, you're pushing it there a little bit. We all know what the flexibility is.
56 is breaking the law, though, at the end of the day.
So that's my question, all right? My question. So if that's the unwritten rule of 55 is the speed limit, and we know that 60, 61, you're going to be all right, why can't be... that number then be 55, 56? Why does it have to be 60, 61?
Because people fundamentally push boundaries.
Yeah.
If you move the goalpost, people will push on that next. It's we are all willful teenagers at heart, at least as a society. We're more like ducks following whoever leads. But like, no, we'll push.
I always think to myself, that's why some people cheat on their taxes, because they think, if I do it a couple times, I'll be all right. I'll get away with it. If I do it 8 or 10 years in a row, they're probably going to catch me. But if I do it now, I'll cheat a little bit on my taxes.
I actually was talking about it on my shows last week. There was a study of Canadian drivers. 7 out of 10 of them, so a pretty big majority, admitted that they go a little above the speed limit on back roads, a little more above the speed limit on highways, and a little more yet above the speed limit on like interstates and stuff. And I thought that pretty much mirrors Americans.
Right.
I think that's a North American thing in general than if it's Canadians. But like specifically what they all responded, there was a trend of the responses was they didn't consider it technically speeding because of a lack of enforcement. Now, and there's like three different ways that could be taken, but yeah, I think that's just generally human nature. If you don't slap my hand, I will consider it likely that you won't slap my hand and act accordingly, you know?
And well, I get the 25, 35 mile an hour speed limits, even the 40s. I get that. We all miss that going into towns, coming out of towns where you're too fast going in or too fast going out. I understand that part of it. But the 70 mile an hour speed limit on Highway 51 and the guy that's going 90, that's just somebody who's just like, you know what? I want to feel the rush. I want to see if I can get away with it. They're just, because every second of that 90 miles an hour, you know that if there is a policeman that you don't see or unmarked, you're done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know he's blasting Rammstein music and living on the edge. Like, this is not an individual you want to stand in front of, let alone drive in front of. Just move over to the right, let it happen.
He's got a Red Bull in the counter in between. Yep. He's going at
it. Your life will be easier. That Red Bull is empty because it is freshly chugged.
The transition now, this is why they pay me the big bucks, between that story and the Red Bull Soapbox Derby from London, England. I think we touched on it a little bit last week, maybe.
I don't know if we talked about it on air. I know we chatted about it.
Yeah, but I watched this a few weeks ago, and I thought to myself, this has got to be in Texas or Alabama or somewhere in the United States. This has just got redneck written all over it here. And then I found out it was from England. I thought to myself, well, we really all are just one now, aren't we? Because this Red Bull Soapbox Derby was the biggest redneck thing. And I say that with the best of intentions. It was fun to watch. If you want to YouTube it, Red Bull Soapbox Derby. There's many of them, but this one from London was like the Cadillac of them. It was pretty cool.
I feel like that's something people can gather around and unify around. Yeah. Is put wheels on a thing that's questionably safe, put a person on that thing, and see what happens. You know, yeah. that concept has done a lot for society.
Yeah, and I like the rules because the rules were number one, speed and complete the course, and then number two, it was creativity. And the people who finished in the top three in speed were not in the top three overall. They took creativity, having fun with it, costumes, somebody had a triple-decker bus, what your thing looked like. So it wasn't all just about finishing the course. It was about more than that.
I'm thinking there's an intersection there of like mirroring it after a classic car. I know you've got like material limitations and stuff, and there's a reason they're not looking all polished and like a Macy's Day Parade float. But I feel like if you could like cobble together a quality, you know, like a Shelby Cobra kind of looking thing, you could get some style points and still have an aerodynamic and well-weighted design. You know, that classic, do you want the fast-looking car or do you want the lead-heavy block? Well, the lead-heavy block wins every time. You know, yeah. that old elementary school lesson we each learn after picking the cool car?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you could do that. I feel like there's an option, and I think the Shelby Cobra kind of profile.
Years ago, I was at the Stone Lake Town Celebration. They have one in the fall over in Stone Lake by Spooner, and they have a hill right in. If you've ever been through Stone Lake, between here and Spooner, there's a hill right there. I mean, literally the town is on a hill up here, and it goes down across Highway 70, I believe it is, or whatever, and goes into a residential area. And I went there to do a live broadcast. It was probably in the mid-90s, and they were doing a soapbox derby race where it started at the top of the hill, you went down across the highway, and at the end was somebody's entire barn full of hay that they put there, and you just ran into the hay and crashed. And I looked at that and I thought to myself, I gotta do this. But I wasn't able to convince anyone to let me be in their soapbox because it was pretty much a one-shot deal. You went down, you hit the hay, and then it was done for the year. You had to fix it.
I mean,
that
like you,
that was it.
I feel like you could have. You know, like, I've never felt like streakers at NFL games have the right idea in any way, but, like, running onto the pitch and stealing the moment has its place. Like, if you can grab a sled, like, I'm getting to that. Hey.
Yeah, but you need the hill. That's the problem is you need the hill to do it.
You said this was Stone Lake?
This was in Stone Lake, yeah.
Boy, that.
They might, I would guess they still do it. It was so, I mean, there was people lined up and down the sidewalks watching this thing.
Well, for Stone, as far as Stone Lake's concerned, that hill sounds like a real high point.
Yeah, but let me see.
Rachel's staring at me like I deserve. She's like, did you really?
Let me see if it still goes on here. Stone Lake Cranberry Fest. Oh, they have the Crate Derby, they call it, in Stone Lake during the Cranberry Fest, which I think it was kind of cool. It was early October.
Crate with a K.
So there you go right there. There's the pictures of it right there. They only accept 12 entries. Well, why would you do that? Need more than that. The first 12 completed online. I'm assuming this is a updated one. I'm not sure if this is from 12 years ago. So $25, the first 12 entries go down the street. You guys need to expand that a little bit more. We need to have a 98Q. Soapbox. You see Big G in his purple shirt and maybe a Bart the Buick Man costume going down that Main Street hill. It might not end well.
Crashes. I hold on. I wasn't prepared for the mental image you just gave me. There's so much going on there. I mean, like, I was still picturing Big G getting into a soapbox derby car because it's, I mean, like, are there size limitations involved? Like, I think it would be super fun. Oh, let's make him a little mini Monty. That would be so fun.
That would be nice.
I think we need, and I think we're about to Maybe hear how he feels about such a thing.
Stone Lake Cranberry Fest, first weekend of October, the Crate Derby. Check that out, folks. Gray over there, Joel here. This is the Gray Area. We'll archive this if you want to listen back for some reason. One last thing I wanted to talk about, and I heard this topic talked about a few weeks ago, and I had to bring it up, and the fact that talking about the guy who comes into your house to fix something, all right? I'm talking about whether it's a handyman, whether it's somebody to do some plumbing or whatever it may be, and there's not a guy alive that doesn't have somebody come into the house, and if you're there, and this is why usually I don't want to be there. I really don't want to be there. The guy will walk in, and you don't want to sound like the idiot. You know, you sound like, you know, well, what's wrong? He says, well, that's broke. You know, go fix it. You know, you sound like you always are the knowledgeable. And you, well, you know, that hose over there, you know, I clamped that a few years ago, and I put some, you know, I put some cement in, some of that rubber cement stuff on there. You know, you're like you're supposed to put on there. You know, I put that on there in a nice clamp. I tightened it really good on there, but now it seems to be leaking out the backside. That one's fine, but it's leaking out the backside. And I'm wondering, maybe I didn't tighten it too. You wanted to, you want to sound knowledgeable. For some reason, guys just want to have that knowledge moment with the guy who actually knows what he's doing.
Even right? Midstream, though, I wanted to just put my hand on your face and look under your sink. Like, I can see what you're saying so much faster than you can say it. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's just like, okay, we got one of these.
We got one of these.
I'm going to need some privacy while I fix your sink, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Why I do it in the buff and you don't need to know why. Get out of here.
And usually the person will fix it and be really nice. And then when they're done, they'll very... A good repair person will tell you nicely what everything you did wrong leading up to that. Well, first of all, you know, this shouldn't be doing this here. You shouldn't have that U clamp. That was for, like, you know, a washer like in 1942. You need to...
Yeah, if you'll teach me calmly and for free, I have all the time in the world. Please hit me up, because I definitely plumbed that thing wrong. Guarantee it. I got Teflon tape on it, though. I did that right. Guarantee it.
The only thing I'm out on in my house is electricity. All right.
100%. Or never, garage door springs.
Don't. Just, garage door springs.
Don't mess with them.
I messed with that a couple years ago, and never again. But electricity, it just scares me. I'm going to let people handle it who know what they're doing. My wife will just say, well, you know, pop the breaker on that, and then let's see. I'm just like, all right. I'm pretty sure the light went off on that, but, you know. Who's saying there's not a little something lingering in there, a little current lingering in there? Electricity, I just say, there's the box, here's the problem, see you later. You do your thing.
That's how we would have been, too, growing up, if we would have had any electrical problems, which didn't happen often. That said, though, and it's kind of easy for me to forget because he wasn't on a tractor pulling a plow very often, but my dad grew up on a farm. They grew up on a mink farm, and they raised other animals too, and they sold bait that they trapped themselves. So they did a lot of hard work, and they did their own maintenance and fixing things, and he carried that and taught us a lot. So, like, step one is make sure you can't fix it yourself, because chances are you can. You know, that's just kind of the thinking going into a thing. But even when that is the main, like, even when we're the ones fixing our own stuff most of the time, the real step one is identify whether it's your job to fix or whether you're capable, whether it's the safe thing to do, whether, like, and then safety infrastructure. Make sure that you've got all the backstops, that you can do it safely at all. And if you can't do it safely, yep, just pick up the phone. Because, yeah, there were guys in our house every once in a while, but it was only if we'd banged our head against the wall and done it wrong enough, or if it was electricity or something unsafe.
Basic plumbing stuff, I've had enough history of that. I lived so many places over the years before I moved here where, you know, the leak under the sink and stuff like that, I'm not thrilled. I'm a tall, lanky guy, so getting under there is just like, But I can usually figure that out. I can usually shut the water off.
Right.
And I'm all right. I'm all right with that stuff.
Yeah, and then he became a machinist, too. So he grew up on a farm, became a machinist, and just has a knack for absorbing info that's based on, like, system-based info. So never worked with engines, really, in any capacity. But he knows what he's looking at under a hood. So it's like there's always just kind of been this try. Fiddle with it. And like, built into that is this wonderful feeling of you can probably fix anything you can break. Probably.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
And then there's the list of things you can't fix, so don't do these. Like, there's a lot of lists to remember in that kind of life.
Is everybody trying to look like Aaron Rodgers? Now, look at Mike Greenberg on ESPN. Look at him.
We're not watching ESPN at work, Joel. What are you talking about?
He looks like Aaron Rodgers. Is everybody trying to look like salty beard Aaron Rodgers now? Is that the look? Is that look at me?
The trendy look for the middle-aged white guy is the extra stubble. I think it's a post-COVID thing.
It's the Aaron Rodgers look.
It will inspire the next trend, which will be super clean cut. And then we'll revert back to the 70s grizzly man kind of thing. But this is 20 years in the future we're already talking about. These are 5 years. Cycles. Write it down, bet on it. Back to the future, you know.
So as we ease our way into football season, the Packer training camp starts Wednesday. Right?
Wednesday.
As we ease ourselves into the season, I ask you this simple question today, just to kind of ease us into it. Do you want Aaron Rodgers to have a good season?
Yes.
Are you cheering for him to go out in a good way?
I don't care if Aaron Rodgers has a good time playing football, but Aaron Rodgers playing, I do care. Everybody deserves happiness in that basic root way. But absent of that, I don't care about him any more than any other person. I don't think about him anymore. But if Aaron Rodgers plays well, that's good for football. And that's what I care about. I love the sport. And Aaron Rodgers at his best is one of the most... How do you say it? Because he's not the best. Tom Brady is the best quarterback all time.
Right,
you can't touch that. But Aaron Rodgers might have some of the best throws ever, some of the best arm talent, some of the quickest mental processing. Like, there are things that only Aaron Rodgers can do.
His touchdown to interception ratio is crazy.
Yes, but crazy. That one has a big built-in caveat. He threw it away a lot. He did that a lot, and he protected that ratio. But I don't the counterpoint. I don't think he gave up many wins to protect it. So like, I'm totally cool with it.
I think throwing it away is a key part of being a smart quarterback.
And if he lost games on the back of protecting that stat, then I would have a lot bigger issue with it. But I'll just never hold that up as some major thing, because he definitely could have been risky here and there. He would have had a lot more picks though. It's undeniable. So like, that is still evidence of he identified those moments probably better than any other.
And I think the fact that he's playing in the AFC. I think most Packer fans would be like, go have yourself a season over there in the AFC. Go to the AFC championship game, whatever. Go have yourself a season. I mean, if he was playing for the Giants or somebody like that in our conference, it'd be like, well, you know, have a good year, but not a real great year, all right? Because we don't want to see that. But the Packers do have to play Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers this year. Got to play them.
That's going to be wild.
They're on the schedule. That's a good game.
That's going to be wild. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hit him hard. Hit him hard. That's good for football, too. That's good for me.
We are your home for Packer football right here, and our Title Town report will be starting here probably in the next week or so, I would guess. And we were talking with at the golf outing. We were talking with Mike Plemon a little bit.
Yeah.
Nice enough to sit at the table with him. It was good to see Mike. It was good to see Sam Pritzel. It was good to see Bill Daniels. We're blessed to sit at the same table with them. And Mike made a comment that I think is rare to describe this coming season, is that any of the four teams in the division could step forward and win it, and it wouldn't be a huge surprise. Even the Bears.
I mean,
Caleb Williams has all the tools to make it happen, and if something happens around him, anyone could win 11 or 12, and another team could drop like the Lions down to 7 or 8 wins, and we'd be like, we kind of saw that coming. Yeah.
That's as deep as I'm willing to wade into the conjecture, into the guesses. Like, do not ask me to pick. And yeah, I will absolutely break down my reasons why I'm unsure. But that's as far as I'll go. Like, yeah, I think I Mr. Plemon put it perfectly. Nobody would be a surprise. It's fair before the season has even begun. Like, yeah, at least at this point, if I could peek into the future. Now, we may say completely differently, even just 3 or 4 games in. You know, with the things that the teams might have going on, they might be massive and immediately apparent. If J.J. McCarthy ain't it for the Vikings, we might know early. Mm-hmm. I really doubt that, though. I believe in him.
You're right, though. If that happens, if McCarthy's not ready to go and he shows signs of being a rookie, the Vikings will be in that fourth place slot.
Right. Dan Campbell was leaning on his coordinators that are now head coaches in 2 other cities way more than you think he was, that might stand out too. Again, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Dan is Dan the Man Campbell. But there's possibilities there, and maybe Ben Johnson wasn't that good. You know, both things can't be true, but that means Chicago is not going to be lifted up by him as much as you might think. So, like, Packers have a bye week in week five. We'll have played Detroit, Washington, the Browns, and the Cowboys. That could actually be a nasty stretch. I don't think the Browns are going to be much. They'll probably be trying their second quarterback on week three. But the Lions and the Commanders, that's nasty.
Yeah. I could see a season where everybody butts heads in the division, that everybody is 3-3, 2-4, 4-2, and then the three teams that could decide this whole division are going to be in that AFC. Is it the South? Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati. That's on everybody's schedule this year. That's our division to play. Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Cincinnati. Baltimore is always really good. Whoever can go 2-1 against those teams, that might be the difference in the division. Could
be. Mid-season against Aaron Rodgers. We'll be in a different world by week eight.
Sunday Night Football.
Coming off the Bengals and the Cardinals.
Packers at Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers. Sunday Night Football on NBC on Sunday, October 26th. Don't you dare schedule a baby shower or anything that day, all right? There's nothing else going on that day besides church in the morning. Sunday, October 26th, Packers at Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, man. I'm terrified. Excited.
I'm ready for the NFL, baby. Let's bring it on.
Are you ready for some football?
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you.
Have a great week. We got news to come at the top of the hour.